Open your Bibles, please, to Romans, the 15th chapter. Romans chapter 15, and in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1208, we'll read a few verses here, and then we'll turn to 2 Peter, the second chapter, and read a few verses there as well. Romans chapter 15, beginning with verse 8, reading through verse 13, the 13th verse being the text verse. And may we stand, please, for the reading of this passage. Read these few verses here responsibly. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again, Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust." Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And turn now to 2 Peter chapter 2, page 1318 in your Scofield Bible, page 1318. And beginning with the fourth verse, we'll read through the eighth. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, the eighth verse is the text verse. We'll read these responsively. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked," and together also in verse 8, "for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." And let's pray. And Father, we have opportunity once again, and our opportunities are wonderful and rare among the opportunities of this world to be a part of this church and to be hearers of the Word of God in this particular place under the ministry of our preacher. We pray that you'd bless now tonight and help that thou wouldst be glorified in the preaching and the hearing of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to read, without you needing to turn to it, one passage, one little verse we read a while ago. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." I want that little phrase there, "peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." I want to lift out that little line tonight. It says, "peace in believing." Don't forget it. We'll come back to it after a while. Peace in believing. I'm going to take one truth tonight and just that I know will help you, and just dwell on it for a while, and come at it from several different angles. And you have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you can only be blessed and find peace and sweet rest when all on the altar is laid. Now, what is peace? I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, the definition of peace. What is peace? Oh, you say it's a certain tranquil feeling. No, it isn't. No, it's not. It's an absence of war. No, it's not an absence of war. What is peace? Peace is cessation from toil. No, peace is not cessation from toil. What is peace? Peace is perfect harmony between people. No. That's not peace. But I want to tell you tonight what peace is. Then I want to tell you some examples of what it is and what it isn't. Then I'm going to talk to you briefly on how you can get it. Now, this is not going to be one of those sermons that's hour and a half long. I'm going to cut this one down to hour and 25 minutes. But this won't be one of those long hour and a half sermons, and it won't be one of those real punchy, pungent ones. But I do feel that if you had America to list the thing she wants most, one word she wants most, probably that one word would be peace. That's the thing every president talks about more than anything else. Peace. Peace in our time. Peace among men. Tonight I'm going to talk to you about the definition of peace. Father, help me to so explain to this great crowd of people what peace is all about. Until we will know what it is, know what it isn't, know how to get it, and make plans to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start off with the definition. Follow me carefully. Peace is perfect harmony between the nature of anything and its circumstances. That's what peace is. Peace is perfect harmony between the nature of anything and its circumstances. Peace is the star moving in its orbit. Peace is the fish swimming in its sea. Peace is the bird flying in its sky. Peace is the plow opening its ground. Peace is the seed wed to its rich soil. Peace is the surgeon with his scalpel and a needy patient. Peace is the attorney at the court of law. Peace is the builder with a hammer in his hand. Peace is a preacher standing behind the pulpit doing the thing that God has called him to do. Peace is perfect harmony between the nature of anything and its circumstances. Conversely so, peace is lost when the harmony is lost between a nature and its circumstances. Let me make those two statements again. Peace is perfect harmony between the nature of anything and its circumstances. The losing of peace is caused by lost harmony between a nature and its circumstances. Now, wait a minute. A nature may not have harmony with its circumstances, and if it doesn't have harmony, it won't have peace. It may have fun, but it won't have peace. When your nature is in circumstances not in harmony with your nature, you may have a thrill, but you won't have peace. You may have excitement, but you won't have peace. You may have fun, but you won't have peace. There are Christians all over this nation tonight in these charismatic churches where you got a jazz band up here on the platform and where you got a rock music with religious words to it. And you got a bunch of worldly atmosphere. They're Christian people.
that are in a circus set of circumstances that are not in harmony with the new nature of man. But they're excited, they're having fun, but they're not at peace. There's a lot of wild thing, there's a lot of wild things going on, but there's no peace. You see, peace comes when the nature of a thing is in harmony with its circumstances. If, hear me now, if you are in a worldly circumstance, or if you are positioned in a set of worldly circumstances, and you have genuine peace, then you're not saved. Because peace is the harmony that exists between a nature and its circumstances. And if your nature exists in harmony with evil circumstances, then you don't have a new nature. Now, this is why Jesus could not be satisfied until the price was paid for our salvation. Isaiah 53:11 said when he gave himself on the cross, it said, then shall he see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Jesus came to earth for us, but he wasn't satisfied yet. He lived a perfect life on earth for us, but he wasn't satisfied yet. He was a man of sorrows for us, but he wasn't satisfied yet. He was despised and rejected of men for us, but he wasn't satisfied yet. He was wrongly tried for us, but he wasn't satisfied yet. He was scourged for us, but he wasn't satisfied yet. He went to the cross for us, but he wasn't satisfied yet. In fact, the Bible says that as soon as he made his soul an offering for sin, then he shall see or saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. Now why? Because that's why he came. He came as the Lamb of God. And the Lamb of God will never have peace until that Lamb fulfills the circumstances for which that Lamb was made. The Lamb came to die. Jesus could not be at peace until he died. And so he was not satisfied. And that's why God's people aren't satisfied tonight. Because God's people basically are not fulfilling the purpose for their existence. We say these testimonies, especially if it's some Hollywood movie star hadn't got enough religion to get out of that hellhole out there. And I was reading in a magazine, a newspaper the other day, about a program that Pat Boone is on. And they described that program Pat Boone is on. And I thought, now, brother, that guy gets up and testifies what Jesus means to him. If that's Christianity, I'm bushy-headed. I mean, brother, if you're gonna give a testimony what Jesus means to you, then get out of the hell hole and the communist hole and the sex pit called Hollywood. But you're not going to be satisfied until your circumstances are in harmony with your nature. Now, there are two mistakes. Follow me carefully. One mistake is this. Now, here is your nature here. And around your nature are the circumstances of life. If these circumstances around your nature are not in harmony with your nature, you don't have peace. You have war. You have disturbance. You have unrest. Now, it may be that the circumstances are not what they ought to be, and you ought to change circumstances. Or it may be that you are staying in the circumstances that are right and misusing them and misbehaving in those circumstances. You may be in the will of God and in the circumstances of your nature, but you may be causing trouble within those circumstances. Now, illustration. A bird in the cage is not at peace. Now, if you got a bird in the cage, I'm not mad at you. But when I was a kid, I hadn't thought about this in years. know, Prince Albert was a tobacco years ago. Came in a can. We used to call up folks on the telephone and say, you have Prince Albert. We call a store and said, you have Prince Albert in the can. And they'd say, yes, we do. We'd say, well, let him out. He's going to suffocate if you don't. Now, I'm not upset with you if you have a parakeet or one keet. I don't care. But I'm not upset with you if you have a canary in a cage. I'm not upset with you. But I guarantee you that canary is not at peace, because the bird was not made to be caged. Illustration: a lion in a cage. He doesn't have any peace. I do. When he's in a cage. But he doesn't have any peace. Illustration: a lost man in church. You want to see some, Brother John, you see it all the time. People only come to church for funerals. You're not Brother John, are you? Which one are you, Brother John? And you see it all the time, Brother John. People come to funerals and they're miserable looking. Why? Because they don't know how to act in church. We have folks come to visit here sometimes, and you can tell if they're unsaved almost always, because their nature is not in harmony with their circumstances. Illustration: I know men who were assistant pastors. Now, don't. I'm not talking about anybody you know. Nobody's ever been here. But I know men who were assistant pastors. And their nature was to be an assistant pastor. And they were great assistant pastors. But they had to be the boss man. And so they left their natural habitat, which was the habitat of being an assistant pastor. And they put an assistant pastor nature in a pastor's environment. And have never been the same since. They have lost their peace. Their nature does not have harmony with their circumstances of life. Illustration: sitting back here in the back tonight is a man named Randy Erickson. Now, Randy Erickson's one of the smartest men you'd ever want to meet. You know why? He's found his spot in life. He knows what he's supposed to do. Randy Erickson is satisfied. He knows his job. His job is to keep these buildings in shape. That's his job. And he oversees the custodians here. Now, Randy knows his job. Randy has no grandeur. He knows he's not ever going to pastor this church. He knows that. He knows he's not ever going to be president of Hiles Anderson College. He knows that. Randy is in the environment of his nature. You follow what I'm saying? Now, that's why he's at peace. I know folks all this country who misjudge themselves and think they're something they're not. Some guy says, I'll tell you what, God's called me to be a great evangelist. Well, then God will open the doors for you. It may be God's called you be the church custodian. And you'll never be at peace with yourself. And you'll never have real peace until you place your nature in the environment with which it can have harmony. You see, John Colston. Now, I don't mean to be unkind to you, Brother John. I think you're the only one like yourself in the whole world. I mean that. I don't know a finer man alive than John Colston. You're a good man, John. You're a good man. And I just don't know a better man than John Colston. I mean that. Now, John Colston is not going to run the bus ministry of First Baptist Church. John Colston could not organize like Ray Young could organize. In fact, Ray Young's a lousy organizer, too. But I mean, the truth is, John Colston is not going to be a Wendell Evans. He's not going to do that. And you ought to thank God for that. But I'm saying, Now, what's John done? John Colston has surrounded himself with the environment that is compatible to his nature. Boy, I wish I could get everybody to hear me on this. I wish you knew what I'm talking about tonight. I mean, peace comes. Now, I mentioned Randy a while ago. Randy's got more problems than any 10 of us, probably. He's probably got a bigger load to carry than most any of us. He has burdens and heartaches you'll never even understand as long as you live. But Randy Erickson is at peace. Why? Because he has realized his nature and has surrounded himself with the environment that is compatible to his nature. John Colston has burdens. There she sits. John Colston's never going to pastor this church. That's Elaine's job. But John Colston said that this is my nature, and this is what God has given to me. And I'm going to surround myself with people who need comforting, and people who are sick, and people who need encouraging. I'm going to surround myself with the people, the environment that is compatible and harmonious with my own nature, and that's why the fellow's at peace with himself, and that's why he can sleep through all my sermons. Peace. He's at peace with himself. The illustration. Christian in the world. Yeah, you may have fun in the world, but you won't have peace. You may have fun listening to your rock music, but you won't have peace. You may have fun watching your soap operas, but you won't have peace. You may have fun watching your primetime television program, but you won't have peace. You may have fun sipping your cocktail, but you won't have peace. You may have fun in your disco, but you won't have peace. You may have fun in the movie house, but you won't have peace. You may have fun bringing the movie house into your family room, but you won't have peace. I'm simply saying the child of God was not made for the world. The child of God's nature is the nature of Christ, and he's not going to have peace until his environment is in harmony with his nature. Illustration. Fundamental preacher in the ministerial association is not going to have peace. Why? Because his nature is not in harmony with his environment. And he's not going to have peace. He's not going to have it. He's going to have war because his nature is going to rebel against his environment, and his environment's going to rebel against his nature. And he won't have peace. Why? Because peace is when your nature is in harmony with your environment. Illustration. Why a fundamental church in a liberal denomination won't have peace. That's why every fundamental church ought to get out of the American Baptist Convention. Let me just go a little further. That's why every fundamental church ought to get out of the Southern Baptist Convention. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, he's in Southern Baptist Convention and he's fundamental. That's like saying he's a Ku Klux Klanner, but he's married to a black woman. No, when you put your money down, send it to a cooperative program that supports a seminary over here in Louisville that doesn't believe this book's the Word of God, then you are in an environment that's not conducive to your nature. And every church that believes this book, the Bible says, come out from among them. Be a separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll be a father to you, and you'll be a son and daughter unto me. Now, the reason is you won't have any peace. You're not going to have peace until you surround yourself with the environment that is in harmony with your nature. That's why we got hundreds of folks tonight in this room don't have any peace. Got a bunch of teenagers cracking up. Hey, tell me something. Show me one teenager that committed suicide in our generation that does not listen to rock music. I dare you to. Teenage suicide is one of the biggest problems in America tonight. I double dog dare you to show me one teenager that's ever committed suicide in our generation that does not listen to rock music. Young folks back in the back, listen to me. Hey, I'm preaching. Don't forget me up here. You're not going to listen. Go on home. Get. Chew. Listen to me. You're not going to be happy until you decide to be in the atmosphere of your nature. Now, if you're not born again, you can have peace in a nightclub. You won't have any war on the inside. If you're not born again, you can listen to your rock music. It won't cause a great deal of problem with you. But I'll guarantee you, Buster, if your name is written in heaven and you've been born again and you're a new creature in Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit lives in here, you're not going to have peace till you come clean with God. You're not going to do it. Not going to do it. Now, I don't believe it. You don't have to believe it, but you don't have peace. The fact that you're a little upset right now proves my point. Your habitat is not compatible to your nature. Illustration. Mixed marriage. Unsaved man marries a saved girl marries an unsaved man. What is it? She has a nature in an environment that is not harmonious with her nature. That's why she has no peace. Illustration. New Testament church not soul winning. I'm so sick and tired of soul winning being criticized, I don't know what to do. I was listening to one of these guys the other day from Southern California on these radio stations all over the country, these fellows that say, take the word Baptist off your church and take the invitation off you, take the word pastor off the pastor's title and so forth. And he was making fun of old-fashioned soul winning. God pity. You know, a New Testament church is not going to have peace. A New Testament church bathes itself in the environment which it was made. And the purpose of the New Testament church is to get people saved and get those saved people strong enough to get other people saved. That's the purpose of it all. And until the nature of the New Testament church is engulfed by the circumstances that are compatible and harmonious with it, the church is not going to have peace. Now listen carefully. I'm going to go a step farther. How can this peace be won? Now follow me very, very carefully. I want to make four statements. Statement number one, everything is a part, nothing is a whole. Statement number two, each part must be a part of the whole. Statement number three, when it becomes a whole, it becomes just a part of another whole. Statement number four, every part becomes its best only when it trusts itself to the whole and is loyal to the whole. Let me illustrate. In building a plane such as a 747 airplane, the biggest passenger plane they fly in America. Building a plane like that, they may build the fuselage of that plane in Fort Worth, Texas. They may build the wing for that plane in Atlanta, Georgia. They may build the engine for that plane in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now, every little part of that engine is going to have peace only if it properly relates itself to every other part of that engine. Then when that little part of that engine becomes a part of an engine and the engine becomes a whole, then that engine must properly relate itself to the fuselage and the rest of the plane where the assembly plant is in order for peace to continue in the life of that one little part in that engine. That's why not only is a Christian supposed to put himself in the right environment if he's going to have peace, but he's supposed to join a church with the right environment. You got folks all over this area that go to these dead, dry, dusted churches because Grandma, Grandpa, and Uncle George, Aunt Susie went there. I said so often, I've heard them say it so often, well, we would join a fundamental church, but Uncle George is buried in the cemetery behind the church. Well, dig him up, we'll bury him in the alley back here. Uncle George were living, he'd have enough religion to get out of that liberal church, too. He said, we come here on Sunday night because our church doesn't have Sunday night services. Well, the only thing wrong with the church that doesn't have church on Sunday night is that they do have it on Sunday morning. I'm simply saying, get yourself surrounded in an atmosphere that's conducive to your nature. And you've been born again, and dozens of you got born again. You're born again yourself, got a preacher, not even born again. Doesn't even believe this Bible's the Word of God. Doesn't believe the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. I said the other day on the radio program, I'd have more respect for liberals if they just put a sign out in front of the church, we don't believe the virgin birth. But a bunch of these guys have gone to these seminaries and a bunch of these professors that don't believe in anything anymore have taught these preachers, and these preachers have come out nothing but pagan heathen. Liberals don't believe the verbal inspiration of the Bible, don't believe the deity of Christ, don't believe the sinless life, don't believe in the vicarious death, bodily resurrection of Christ, or regeneration, or a heaven that has golden streets, or a hell that has fire. They come out and they deceive God's people all across this nation. They use the terminology, but they don't mean what we mean. Now you get out of that church. You have a new nature, get in a church of new natures. You won't have peace till you do. Now, once you get your own little circle, you're part in that little circle, then you get in the church. And by the way, you get in the church and you trust it. Don't you find fault with it. Get in the church that's fundamental church, that believes the book and is compatible to your new nature, and relax. Trust it. Don't be finding fault all the time. Don't be criticizing it all the time. It's not perfect, but it is like your nature. And you be sure that church is a part, not a part of something it shouldn't be a part of. I wouldn't belong to a church that belonged to a denomination that belonged to the National Council of Churches. No way. No way I'd do it. Because not only do I want my little part to be okay in the engine, but I want my engine hooked up to the right fuselage. Let me explain. I'm saved. I have a new nature. My new nature wants a certain habitat. My new nature has a, by the way, it wants a certain environment in order for me to have peace. Now that environment cannot include the world. My new nature will not ever have peace in a tavern. My new nature will not ever have peace in a nightclub. My new nature will not ever have peace in a movie house. My new nature will not ever have peace if it is in a habitat that is not in harmony with my new nature. And listen, some of you folks, you think I'm fanatical and a nut and a nitwit and I'm too hard and you say, he's too strict. Okay, I guarantee you, brother, if your name is in heaven and you are redeemed with the blood of Christ, and you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, I'll guarantee you, you don't have peace and you won't have peace till you come clean with God and get out of the environment that is not in harmonious with your nature. I won't do it. My new nature has a purpose for it. That's called the will of God. And my new nature will never be satisfied unless it is in harmony with the environment of the will of God for my new nature. And neither will yours. You know, our problems are simpler than we think. Mr. Psychiatrist, can you help me? No, he can't. He just got back from one himself. I feel about a psychiatrist like a pathfinder said about Roy Moffat. One of our dear Pathfinder boys last Sunday morning, Roy Moffat walked by and his Pathfinder said, "Who's that nut?" That's the way I feel. Every psychiatrist I ever met needs to go to a psychiatrist. No, you don't need a psychiatrist. It's not that complicated. And you don't have to, I'll be quite frank with you, most of you don't need to spend too much time reading the books about the temperaments trying to excuse yourself for being what you are. Well, I'm a hot-tempered because I'm sanguine. I don't care what your name is, Buster, you're not supposed to be hot-tempered. Well, I'm blue and depressed because I'm a melancholy. I don't care if you're a melon German shepherd. Doesn't give you any excuse to be depressed. We're spending too much time looking for the secret. Brother, when the secret is right here, you got a nature, you get your environment to be harmonious with your nature, and you'll have peace. That's what it, that's all it is. You trotting from one little psychiatrist to the other, having one little nut test for the other. One little screwball test and the other. Trying to find what's wrong with me. Think, well, I'm paranoid. Schizophrenic. No, you're not. You schizo in the wrong crowd. That's what you are. You're hanging around the wrong place. Yeah. I don't like your preaching. I don't give a flip. You show me one place in this Bible where it says, give me part of your heart. Show me one place in that Bible, brother. One place in that Bible says, seek ye second the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Your little one-time weak Christianity goes to church on Sunday and turns your rock record player on by the time you get home and watch your little video movie on a Monday night and then go to a country club on a Tuesday night. And you won't find that in the Bible. You won't find... Bible says... All! God wants it all! All of it! And the problem is very simple. Your problem is, you are not surrounding your nature with a harmonious and compatible environment. I have a dream. Not like you. Oh, brother. I have a dream. Have a dream that someday watermelons will cover the ocean. Have a dream that someday chitlins shall cover every table in the country. I have a dream. Every once in a while, about once a month, I have a dream. And I dream I'm in the army. Every month I dream I'm in the army. And I say, but you can't put a 59-year-old man in the army. And the sergeant says, but we just did. I said, but I am a preacher. And the sergeant says, not anymore. But I said, you can't draft a preacher. And the sergeant says, you're not that much preacher. Now, I'm telling you what. All night long, it seems like, I'm in the army. And it's so real. And sometimes I'll even say, I think I'm dreaming. But I'm not sure. I don't want to wake up and find out. But I tell you what, it's one of the most miserable nights I've spent. I dreamed the other night I was a freshman at Bob Jones University. I'd rather be in the army. I mean, I was living in the dormitories. I said, you can't put a 59-year-old man in the dormitory. He said, we just did. And I'm miserable. Some of you folks are miserable tonight. Why, you got a crabby look on your face right now. You're miserable. You know why? Because you do not like the environment. Your nature is not in harmony with what's going on in this room tonight. And because it is not, you don't have any peace. Now, the honest, simple truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we are not going to have Christians who have peace until we have an environment that is harmonious with the nature. That's what peace is. My new nature has a purpose. And that purpose is the will of God. And I'll not have peace till I put my new nature in that environment which is the will of God. My new nature is love. And I will not have peace if I have hatred in my heart or bitterness in my heart. My new nature is unselfish. And I'll not have peace until I surround my unselfish nature with an unselfish life. You know how you feel sometimes when you've been tight. You know how you feel sometimes when you said something you shouldn't say. Boy, you lost your temper and you said something you shouldn't have said. You know how you feel. My new nature has a mind. And it's not going to be peaceful until the mind of my new nature is surrounded in an atmosphere and in a circumstance harmonious with my mind. Wicked thoughts, no peace. Critical nature, no peace. Vengeance, no peace. Revenge, no peace. Hatred, no peace. Covetousness, no peace. Immoral thoughts, no peace. That's basically what most mental trouble is. Most mental trouble is you're taking a mind that is renewed in Christ and causing that mind to dwell in a set of circumstances that are not harmonious with the mind that God has given you. My new nature loves this book, and I'll not have peace till my new nature is surrounded with this book. My new nature loves to walk with God. I'll not have peace till my new nature is walking with God. My new nature loves to reproduce. I'll not have peace till I go soul winning. Because the nature that I have is the divine nature of Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Illustration. When Jacob deceived Esau, his mother Rebekah said, "Honey, take off for the homeland. Esau will kill you." 20 years, Jacob was at unrest. No peace. You know why? Because Jacob's nature was not surrounded by harmonious circumstances. Jacob was down in Haran. And Jacob's nature never got its peace until Jacob got back to Bethel, because Jacob's nature can only be happy in Bethel. Illustration. Lot. Read about him a while ago. Lot. The Bible says that just Lot vexed his righteous soul down in Sodom. I checked that word vexed. It means his righteous soul was tormented. Now, why was Lot's soul tormented? Because Lot had a righteous soul dwelling in an unrighteous town. He had a righteous soul dwelling in the world. He had a righteous, and though, by the way, Lot was a part of this world. He was a part of the system of Sodom. But down inside, Lot's soul said, "I don't feel at home. I don't feel at ease." Just like you don't feel when you cheat on that test. Just like you don't feel when you take that extra glance at that magazine on a shelf. Just like you don't feel when you look at that lustful movie, or Love Boat, or your soap opera. Lot was in torment. Why? Because Lot's righteous soul wasn't made for Sodom. Illustration. Naomi and Elimelech. There's a famine in the land. And they left the land of Bethlehem. Judah went down to sojourn in Moab. Everybody goes into sin, goes to sojourn. You don't go to become a drunkard. You go to take a social drink. You don't go to commit adultery. You go to park your neck. You don't go to smoke a cigarette or become a chain smoker. You go to smoke a cigarette. You don't go to get hooked on pot. You go just to take a drag with the crowd. They stayed 10 years. And while they stayed, their boy, Malan, died. Their son, Chilion, died. The only two children. And then Elimelech, the husband, died, leading just Naomi many miles from home, away from the will of God. Naomi said, I'm going to go back home, going back where I ought to be. I'm going to go back and put this nature of mine in the circumstance that's compatible to its nature. She goes back and they look at her and say, who's that? She said, my name is Naomi, but don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. Are you Naomi? We'd never have recognized you. Yes, I know. I went away, Naomi, that means pleasant. I came back, Mara, that's bitter. They called her Mara, which means bitter. What was Naomi's problem? She was placing her nature in a set of circumstances not harmonious with the nature. I'll close with this. Most miserable person in the world. Is an unsaved man in a saved atmosphere. Second most miserable person in the world, a saved man in an unsaved atmosphere. More miserable than an unsaved man in his own element. Ask a question. Now let's just face it. How does your nature compare tonight with your environment? I know some of you don't like what I'm saying. If you're making your speech, I probably wouldn't like it either. But the very look on your face is perfect proof of what I'm saying tonight. You're miserable at church because you don't have a new nature. How does your nature compare tonight and fit with the circumstances of your life? Hey, how does that new nature harmonize with your music? Huh? You won't have peace till it does. How does that new nature harmonize with your literature, your magazines, your books? You won't have peace till it does. How does your new nature harmonize with the church you attend? You won't have peace till it does. How does your new nature harmonize with the places you go? You won't have peace till it does. Peace is the nature of anything living in perfect harmony with its environment. And the loss of peace is caused by nature of anything living in disharmony with its environment. But brother, you put a fish. You know what the happiest thing I ever saw in my life? A fish that you catch and throw back in. You watch him, boy. That's when I don't like to fish a lot. I don't like to throw them back in. I like to throw them in. But we're down in the Keys and caught one about 5 pounds. And that guy said, we can't keep him. Let's throw him back in. That little fish looked up and said, that's a good idea. And he took that little fish off a hook and threw that little fish back in. And that fish shouted all over that ocean, glory to God, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You know why? Because he's back in his environment. I was preaching at a church a year or two ago. The building's about the size of these two sections right here. Summertime, window was open. Wasn't dark yet. A bird flew in. A bird. I don't know who was scared of her. That bird or this bird. That bird's miserable. And finally, after we worked to get that bird out of there, it got out. And as it got out and soared into the sky, it said, hallelujah,
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. It's back where it was meant to be. And a lot of you tonight are wallowing in the gutter in your mind, in your actions, in your reading, in your thoughts. And you don't have peace. And you never will have peace until your nature and your environment meet in perfect harmony. I'll guarantee you, 95% of all the mental problems in this room will be solved if you just do that. 95% of all your nervousness will be solved if you'll just do that. That's it. You're frustrated. And you're frustrated because you're a little bird in a cage, or a fish in a bowl, or a boat. You're a fish out of water. And until you take that nature that God has given you and place it back in the middle of circumstances, in harmony with that nature, you're never going to have peace. I want to say this and I'm through. I said it a while ago. And I meant it. But didn't know I'd think of this. Now I've forgotten what this is. I'm going to say this and I'm through. Then I'm going to say one other thing after that and I'll be through again. I'm going to say this and I'm through. People in this room tonight haven't lost their peace because of troubles. Some of the most peaceful folks in this room tonight, the folks with the heaviest burdens, at perfect peace. So over the aisles, so-and-so's going through the fire. You understand? But going through the fire doesn't take peace away from anybody. No, you don't lose your peace because you've got troubles. You lose your peace because you're living in the wrong neighborhood. I can take you to people tonight in this very room that have cancer, but have peace. I can take you to folks in this room tonight who have children that have leukemia, who have peace. I can take you to folks tonight who don't know how they're going to pay their light bill this week, but they have peace. I can take you to folks tonight in this room that have burdens so heavy they don't know how they'll face tomorrow, but they have peace. Because peace is not lost because of heartaches, trials, burdens, sorrows, illness, or death. Peace is only lost when you transplant your nature. Our Heavenly Father, help somebody tonight, please, in a real special way.